Invisalign is a revolutionary orthodontic option that has changed the landscape of dentistry since its invention more than 20 years ago. The introduction of Invisalign's newest innovation, Invisalign First, aligner treatments for phase one, has some doctors wondering if it'll find the acceptance needed by parents to be a success. Today we're talking with a doctor who has already successfully increased her Invisalign First cases. She's here to share all the details of how she made the transition from brackets to aligners. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Ortho Thrive. I'm your host, Richie Gurazon. Our guest today is Dr. Laura Milner of Milner Orthodontics in Fort Collins, Colorado. Laura is a good friend of our agency. We have been working together for over 2.5 years now. She is a platinum provider of Invisalign and has successfully increased her Invisalign First cases from 1 out of 10 to 8 out of 10. And she's here to tell us how she did it. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so I think we've been working together for over 2 years now, so we've gotten to see a really amazing story with you. So just tell us, give us a little overview of your career in ortho.
Well, I've basically been in practice for 12 years now, and essentially went in with an older orthodontist, and it was supposed to be kind of a 4-year transition. And he, after 6 months, said, I'm ready to retire. So I bought him out pretty fast. And
Well, that was 6 months. I didn't even know that. That's very quick. That's very brave
of
you.
It was fast.
Yeah.
And I was ready. It was kind of a pretty small practice at that time. So it was actually only producing about $400,000 a year. And I essentially, you know, we've been able to grow every year. And, awesome. Definitely in the last 2.5 years, wanted some different goals, wanted to just take things to the next level, and very happy to be working with Ortho Sales Engine and helping to kind of, you guys just take care of so many things for us.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. So what have your experiences overall with Invisalign been, just in general? What would you say?
In general, I actually am a big fan of Invisalign or clear aligner treatment. I think, you know, there's a lot of competitors out there nowadays. And I think as the years go on, we're going to see more and more practitioners kind of going with maybe some different aligner companies. But Invisalign for me still is able to give me a lot of different products. You know, they've got products for our little kids, Invisalign First. We have our Invisalign Teen. And then there's a number of options for adults as far as very limited treatment options or large treatment options. And I think beyond that, for me, I think they do a really good job of helping us with marketing. They are always coming out with new commercials or products for us to market to our kids and teenagers that make it, you know, a nice option for them. And yeah, overall, I think, I mean, I'm happy right now with Invisalign.
Yeah, that's great. So did it, when they first came out, was it mostly focused on teens or adults? What kind of success were you having when you first started using them?
I think traditionally it was just an adult product. And if you wanted to do a teenage case that had baby teeth, you'd have to, or like the date of birth was not going to fit into their requirements. You just have to kind of put in a fake date of birth and not show how young that kid was. But then they started introducing the Invisalign Teen product and being able to incorporate, you know, even primary teeth into there. And then, Invisalign First is targeted just for those young mouths. And I really enjoy that product.
So would you, if someone's been using Invisalign, how long do you think there's any period of time that they should get experience with adult Invisalign before they do Invisalign First? Or can you just go right ahead and do both at the same time if you're diving into it?
Yeah, for me, all my Invisalign First cases tend to be a lot more straightforward than my adult cases, to be honest. I tend to spend a lot less time treatment planning the ClinChecks. And, you know, every orthodontist knows those young mouths, just their teeth just move a lot easier with less force. And those kids are super compliant. That age group in general wants to please still, and they get really excited.
That's one of the, when I first heard that, it's like, it's kind of intuitive, but at the same time, like, really? Like, they're really doing what they're supposed to do? Like, because that's probably one of the main concerns, I think, of giving a young kid Invisalign.
Yeah, you know, if you get someone in and you're like, ooh, they're going to be all over the place. They have, you know, they're fidgety and they just can't keep anything in their mouth. That might be something different. But if you kind of screen for that ahead of time, usually the parents can kind of tell you. But yeah, they in general want to really please people and follow rules. They're excited to have something. I think Invisalign coming out with those stickables has been huge. So I always show them the little stickers that they can decorate their aligners with, and they love that so much. So it just gives them another way to get creative. And yeah, I think it's a great age group.
Do you have to work more closely with a dentist for those younger patients? Is there any difference really?
Not really. I find that with Invisalign First, the brushing seems to be so much better than with my phase one braces cases. I think for one reason, you know, they have smaller crowns, especially in the posterior. So when you have a bracket on those crowns, trying to keep those teeth clean, it's difficult. I usually have the parents help brush with my young kids in braces, just because it's almost impossible to keep those clean as a young kid. So I think their brushing is better. And as long as they're sticking with their 6-month checks, I love it. I think it's fantastic.
What was like your first reaction to hearing that Invisalign First was coming out? Was it positive, skeptical, or what were you feeling?
I think I always am a little skeptical of everything at first, but then you do a couple of cases. I think I had a young girl come in and she was really timid, and mom thought braces were way too aggressive. And so I was like, well, hey, we have this other product, let's try it. And she did fantastic, had teeth kind of all over the place in the anterior, and it went really well. You know, she had a great experience as the patient, because I think less for them as far as their mouths going through things and pokey stuff. And so after a couple of cases like that, then I think I started to believe in the product more, and then my team started to believe in it more. And I think that's like the big key to even starting to get more Invisalign First cases, is just actually believing in it yourself. And then your team, getting your team and your TC on board is another big factor.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you hear other orthodontists like being really skeptical about it, what do you kind of say to them?
I would say, you know, yeah, if you're skeptical, don't go starting every single person. Like try a handful of cases and try to pick ones that you think, you know, you can work with, and it'll be, you can kind of problem solve easily. But I don't think you're going to have to problem solve that much, to be honest. And we're at the point now that, you know, sometimes I go into a new patient exam and I just get this vibe that the parent's really traditional. So sometimes I don't push it as much. And I'm finding lately that even those parents are like, well, hey, is my kid a candidate for Invisalign? And then it's a good lesson. Like, don't go in with these preconceived notions. And, you know, like a lot of these kids nowadays are, we have a lot of cheer, like a lot of kids in cheer and different sports, theater. So being able to not have braces is such a big deal for the kid and the parents. That's always a great thing to mention. And, you know, it's just so much gentler on their little mouths. That's another thing. Parents are always like, oh, having all those braces on their mouths. I remember my mouth being cut up, and that's something that resonates with them. I think, you know, hey, you can still go over to sleepovers and you can have all the food your friends are having. That's a big deal. And then
I can imagine that's a huge deal for some kids, you know, they don't want to be left out when there's awesome food going around for a kid. Yeah.
You know, I think in general, Invisalign or clear aligners tend to let us still enjoy our life while getting the changes we want with our teeth. And I think that's just something we can't give with braces at this point.
Oh, I gotcha. So you think kids are a lot more accepting of the treatment because they get something like clear instead of traditional metal braces? They're just being seen a lot more nowadays?
You know, I will say that age group does come in kind of disappointed. Like they a lot of times they are excited about braces. And so, because they want colors, they want those different things on their teeth.
And oh, then, that's interesting.
I mean, it's kind of half and half. And then you can show them, that's where I think those stickables are really nice, because it's like, hey, you can still decorate these, but think about this, you can brush and floss better. You're not going to have your brackets, you know, popping off and it poking. And so, you know.
Also, they get the advantage of both. They get to kind of get a little kid bling going on, but also the convenience. That makes a lot of sense.
I think that's a big deal to that age group, is the color. And just telling their other friends, oh, I'm going to the orthodontist. Like they really like that.
Can you just talk a little bit more about the stickables if people haven't seen them before?
So I think this, they came out this year and they're adorable. They're just little, they're almost like little temporary tattoos for your aligners. And they have a number of different themes. So, you know, for boys and girls, you know, there's sports characters, there's flowers, foods, animals, there's even like braces. You can put braces on your aligner. And
oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. And actually what I do is I pull up the Invisalign accessory page during my consult, because they have right at the top, they have a really cute little kids and their aligners showing them off. And so it's an easy way for them to see that. And they actually, yeah, they love seeing that. I would definitely recommend that.
So what do you think, Dad? What's the ideal age for Invisalign First that you've seen?
I think our average age is 7 to 9, and even 10-year-olds sometimes. But yeah, I've had rambunctious boys so far that have done really well. Yeah. And I will say too, we use dental monitoring in our practice. So we are watching their scans on a weekly basis. And I think those two, dental monitoring and Invisalign, really go hand in hand and work nicely together, because then you're able to give that instant feedback of anything that's going on. But you can
also kind of helping. Is it helping with compliance even more because you're getting to kind of see the data?
Yeah. And I think too, from an orthodontic standpoint, if you're kind of nervous about how it's going to work, then you have eyes on the process and can see how things are moving and progressing. And it teaches you a lot about how things move.
So do you have any success stories with Invisalign First? What kind of success have you been having since you started it, the patients?
I've had nothing but success, to be honest. I'm not trying to sound corny, but really everyone that started has had fantastic results very fast. And the parents have been so happy. The kids are happy. I think a lot of times they come in and this is something I'm trying to work in, is not expecting to have to do a refinement scan after that first set of aligners, because you're pretty much there after that first round. You know, I think I still am one, if someone needs an expander, I'm going to expand them with an actual expander before going to Invisalign First. So that's just something, I mean, we know we have to get skeletal expansion with an expander. We can't do that with a removable appliance yet. And some other cases I like it in are young kids that have really thin keratinized tissue on those lower anterior teeth. I feel like I can really control how those teeth are moving better than with braces. And it seems more gentle to me.
That's interesting. Even better than braces.
I think so. And our, you know, at the end of the day, our parents are happy and they're starting to ask for it more. So to be able to deliver something to them and feel really confident, it's been a win-win.
Cool. So what are the kind of the big differences between Invisalign First and Invisalign for adults?
So, I mean, the big thing is Invisalign First is made for those little teeth and the primary teeth. So their crowns are teeny. You want to have a certain number of teeth in. Like you usually, I think the requirements are you have to have a certain amount of primary teeth. And then just from a standpoint of eruption, you know, I think it's mindful to watch where they're at eruption. And if a two is going to be coming in soon, maybe wait just another 3 to 6 months before starting. So some differences there as far as timing of starting treatment. I think it's key to put a number of attachments on. And then if they happen to lose one, I say, hey, I built a bunch in, so you don't need to come in if an attachment comes off. And that just makes it a smoother experience for the doctor and the patient. I do expand with Invisalign dentally, and I'm finding that's working really successfully. I'm doing a little bit of AP correction. I'm not a huge believer in big AP correction at that age, but if someone needs it, then I'm going to build it in because it's pretty darn easy. And yeah, I think just our basic phase one goals, you can still accomplish whether it's braces or Invisalign. The mechanics are just a little different.
Oh, I gotcha. Are there any differences? Are there any indicators like there are in Invisalign teen to show if they're wearing them or not, the kids?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know 100%. I'm pretty sure for all Invisalign cases, you can now decide at the end whether you want those built in or not, whether it's an adult. It's another $35, and I don't do it because I have dental monitoring. And
that's what I was going to say next. Dental monitoring is kind of telling you if they are, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the next level, because for a while I was having those young kids switch out twice a week with their aligners because their teeth move faster. And then after I started watching on the dental monitoring, I realized some of those teeth weren't tracking quite as well. So I've been slowing that down to 5 to 7 days to switch out. So I think you just learn so much by actually watching on a weekly basis, all my cases, you know, hey, oh, that tooth's not quite moving enough. It can just help you kind of fine tune that experience better.
Is a dental monitoring appliance a different size for the smaller kids, or it just kind of universally works?
Yeah, they actually have small, medium, or large cheek retractors.
Yeah.
So yeah, for our pediatric kids, we usually will do those smaller cheek retractors.
Okay. So once someone's done with Invisalign First, is there a break between Invisalign First and teen, or how does that work?
Yeah, so, you know, very similar to our phase one braces, they'll be kind of done with their treatment goals, have a retainer to wear at night, and then we watch growth every 6 to 9 months. Invisalign does have a phase one and phase two program. So if you've done phase one with Invisalign and then they're now ready for a phase two, you do get a break on the cost as opposed to doing a brand new teen or adult case. So it's a nice, I used to kind of mention that to parents, but I find myself not mentioning that much, honestly, in my consults, but it is nice to know, because usually if they've done Invisalign, they do want Invisalign again when they're ready for that second round.
Are you using dental monitoring in between, or are they just coming in some regular scheduled visits to just check on them?
I've only been using dental monitoring since March, and I haven't fully decided what I'm going to do there. I'm just kind of getting to the end of some phase ones, and
yeah,
you know, I like to get a pano every so often, but it makes sense to save them appointments if there's anything going on. If I don't, hey, we don't need to see you for a year technically, then yeah, just do a scan in 6 months. That makes sense. I really like virtual orthodontics. I think it's a huge time saver for me, and also our parents and kids, because, you know, like a 20 appointment on our schedule is more like an hour appointment for the parents once they take off school or take off work and then go get their kid from school and then take them to the orthodontist and then drive back to school, go back to work. That's a lot of running around. And if it's a 5-minute appointment at the orthodontic office to say, hey, you look great, we'll see you in 6 months, you know, that's not really a good service, I don't think. So yeah, I'm just knowing me, I probably will definitely do some virtual growth checks in there, just because it just makes a sense. Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah, and you're a one office practice. I think you like it that way from the talks we've had in the past. So we're just working on trying to help you be as efficient as possible. And I think a lot of these changes of virtual consults and appointments have really helped with that. So what would you think an ideal candidate for Invisalign First would be? Someone's walking through the door.
I think it's going to be similar to your ideal phase one braces case. You want to have someone that's brushing good already, is ready to kind of commit to something, and you can treat anything. Like I can't think of a single case I couldn't treat with phase one Invisalign right now. So besides doing expansion with skeletally, but I've had some pretty rotated anterior teeth that are out of the arch, and those have gone just fine. And you know, you need compliance, whether it's braces or Invisalign. So with braces, because some people will say, hey, the compliance, well, you still need compliance with braces. They have to brush better. And we've all had those little kids that break stuff off left and right.
I'm
and
sure.
You're not getting anywhere either. So, you know, I think compliance is always important. And if you have that at a, you know, you've got your compliance, you've got a good mom and dad to help follow through, then it's going to be really successful.
So what do you do to help convince these kids to do what they need to do and follow the rules? Is there the method you have there?
Again, that age group is, they're so much easier than teenagers.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Fascinating. So, and two, like the phase one treatments are usually 9 months. So usually they're very excited in the beginning, and then pretty close to the time they're going to burn out, it's like, oh, well, you're almost done. You only have 1 or 2 months left. And so it tends to be a very positive experience. But I think
so you don't find yourself having to like reward the kids or anything or incentivize them?
I really don't. I do like to write messages to them on dental monitoring though. So they send their little scans in, and like once a month or so, I'll write a personal message to them. Just telling them I'm proud of them and they're doing such a great job. Look at all your changes. You're almost there. And I think those little things go a long way because they love to hear, you know, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good. Like that means so much to those little kids. And if they know, they can see the positive changes going on. And if they know like, yep, this is going to prevent problems, then they tend to knock it out of the park. They're great.
That's awesome. So in 9 months is usually the average time just in general.
Yeah. I would say 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So let's go through your process a little bit. So you went from 1 out of 10 to 8 out of 10, which when you told me that, I'm totally amazed. I was like, what did you say?
No.
All right, so how did you accomplish this? How are you convincing, you know, the decision makers, the parents to do this instead of braces?
Yeah, I think the biggest key is your TC. So both my TCs, our whole office actually really likes Invisalign all the way around, just for it just saves your body. It saves your schedule. It's something that patients want. So it's just a positive experience. And, they love it on these phase ones because we've just had so many phase one patients with braces that have decalcification or cuts or the wire poked out and their cheeks, you know, destroyed. And, I think it's just an easier way to have a positive experience. And I don't know if Smile Direct Club and these direct to consumer have made, one thing they've done is make clear aligners, you know, more people have heard about them now because of all the marketing they've done. I think that's part of it. And then parents just hear more about this kind of treatment. So I think it was just a shift in us coming forward, like, hey, we recommend Invisalign over braces for what your child has going on. And these are the reasons why. And if usually they're like, oh, wow. Okay. There's a few different ones. Some like, oh, I just didn't know about it. And then there's others that'll think about their orthodontic experience. And we have this happen all the time where parents are like, oh, you don't want braces. They're going to cut your lips. And I had them for like 4 years. So there's a bunch of parents that did not have a good experience with braces. And so they will 100% go with Invisalign as long as they want to know it's going to work as well. Like they want to do what's best for their kids. So is this going to work as well as braces, you know, for my child? And, you know, it will. And sometimes it's faster and it's going to be more gentle and your kid can brush better and they're going to be able to have sleepovers and eat whatever they want. So these are things that it's just easy to sell. And once you believe in them, it comes across very naturally. And I think my biggest change was just going in and saying, I recommend Invisalign first instead of, well, we could do braces or we can do Invisalign first. Kind of having that mindset going in. And
yeah. So you're asserting that you're the expert and this is your recommendation as the doctor. That makes sense. And then the team's obviously, it sounds like they're very incentivized to do it since it makes their day a little bit nicer. Right. Yeah. And you've obviously trained them in all the benefits of it and kind of the one versus the other. That makes a lot of sense.
Honestly, most of the time my TC will come to me and say they want to do Invisalign. So I'm not even going into the room selling it because they're already on board based off my TCU is saying everything that I'm saying too. Not as sales points, but just because they're true, which it's always easier to, if you believe in it, then it's always easier to have that come across in the consult room.
Yeah, I think, I mean, your team has to be authentic. I can't imagine them being salesy at all, just having met everyone. That's just not who they are. They would be terrible about to do.
And I will say too, if some kid is, you know, Johnny's like, no, I really, really want braces, then I'm going to say, then let's do braces. And I'm going to totally get on board that and get excited for them. So it's not like we're still trying to push them one way. If the child really, really, really wants braces, then that's what you should give them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you're really giving them the information they need to make a decision and just giving your authentic opinion about what you prefer. That makes sense. Do you notice that Invisalign helps with thumb sucking at all? Does that make any difference between braces and Invisalign?
My practice, if someone has a pretty intense thumb habit, I'll put a thumb crib in first or an expander. If they need an expander, then that kind of usually does both. Yeah. So I haven't necessarily done that with Invisalign. One thing I thought about doing was doing little cutouts on the, like almost button cutouts on the upper ones lingual, yeah, and just bonding the little tongue tamers. So it's a reminder to, you know what those are? The little like spiky things.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I thought about doing that as a way to combine it, but if someone's got a pretty bad thumb sucking habit and they have tried all these other things and really need that fixed thumb crib, then I think do that first and then transition.
Is Invisalign covered by insurance? Is it the Invisalign first?
Yes, it is. Now I will say there's a few, if you're in network with certain insurances, you will just need to look and make sure it still makes sense for you price-wise, because I know we're in network with a few, and Delta Dental in particular has a pretty low phase 1 price point. So just, I would say, make sure that you're still making, you know, the profit margin you want to make on that with insurance that you're in network with. But otherwise, yeah, insurance will pay for Invisalign just like it would our braces. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Do you ever get to upsell an adult Invisalign if their kid's doing Invisalign? Because they're kind of just seeing how easy it is. Is that something that's happening?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's Invisalign's one of their lectures. They say scan everyone and their mama. So usually, you do your 3D scan on the patient, which is another thing. Like, this generation loves digital technology. So if you have your 3D scanner in there and you're like, hey, look how cool, here's your teeth, and here's a simulation of what they're going to look like, and then that automatically gets mom. Usually they'll say, ooh, yeah, I had braces. Or a lot of times I'll say, hey, did you have braces growing up? And then a lot, you know, yes, I did, but I didn't wear my retainer and I'm going to have to come in someday. There's just easy ways to break that ice. Sometimes they'll offer it up, but the easiest way I find is, yeah, just that one sentence. Did you have braces growing up? And if they didn't, then yeah, I never had braces. My parents couldn't afford it. So, you know, I thought I'd get my kids done and then I might think about it. So it's an easy way just to break the ice. And I think it's fun too. Sometimes you have moms and daughters or whoever do it together. And
yeah. Is it kind of like a bonding experience when they do that?
Totally. Yeah. It's super cute.
Oh, they're kind of going through that journey together. That is cool. There's not many things that are like that, you know, you're going through.
Yeah.
I might do that maybe. All right. So, financially, what is, like, what kind of outlook can you expect if you really can get these Invisalign first cases up? Are you mainly gaining it through efficiency because you can take more patients? It's a profit margin, not much different. What would you say?
Anyone who's studied Invisalign knows that, you have a higher lab cost up front, but then the efficiency and the saved chair time is where you start really gaining that profitability. And definitely with phase 1, because usually our phase 1 braces cases, they tend to have more issues with wires popping out the first few months. So you're definitely seeing them more often for discomfort visits. Invisalign first and dental monitoring, we're currently doing about 15 weeks in between actual in-office appointments. And I could really easily eliminate that and just do on-demand appointments. So, hey, we're watching all your progress. You look great. There's no reason for you to come in today. I can tell from your scan, you're tracking great. So let's just keep on going. And we're going to see you at the end of your aligners. So that takes me about 5 minutes first scheduling in office. And it's pretty crazy once you start getting into it. And I think over the holidays, I take an hour and go through dental monitoring. And I thought, I just saw 27 patients in an hour. And wow. And I tend to spend a little more time too. I'm not someone that just, my assistant goes through it a lot faster than me, but I like to, I'll sit there and get a little bit nerdy about it and look at all the features. And I like to send messages and all those things. So even with that, you can get through a lot of patients and not very much.
I mean, I think that's, I mean, you went over it quickly, but sending the messages, you know, I know we're not seeing people as much. So the feeling is maybe our relationship with the patients is going to be hurting, you know, it's going to be detrimental. But really, if you could actually end up communicating with the patient more in a very personalized manner, digitally over text or however your system is, I think that's a huge part of the success.
Totally. I think I got this from Ritz-Carlton, you know, with all this digital technology that even they have in their hotels, they want to still make sure they're giving a personal touch. So that's my way of doing a personal touch. You can throw in emojis. They love that. So I type out their message, emojis. And sometimes on a given day, I'll just have kind of a blanket statement that I just copy and paste and then add the specifics for each patient. So, you know, you can still make that pretty efficient and still customize it. But I think that's so important because we don't want to get so far removed that it's just like a corporate feeling and I'm very disengaged. Like that would not be my goal.
Do you charge any difference or difference between Invisalign and braces in your practice? What do you recommend a doctor do as far as that?
Definitely don't charge any different for braces or Invisalign. That's a pretty old philosophy. And we know now just because of the efficiency that the profit can be higher with Invisalign anyway. And there's a lot of practices that are starting to charge more for braces than Invisalign. And I haven't done that, but I can see, I've thought about it, to be honest. And
I mean, time is money. So it sounds like if you look at it that way, it definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to see you more for appointments and that's why we have to charge you more for braces. Like that's as easy as you have to say it. Mm-hmm.
What would you say your secret sauce is to your success for the last few years as far as growing your office and the practice?
I think you need to not be afraid to invest a decent amount of money in the growth. So when I mean, honestly, Ortho's sales engine has been a big part of my growth because I had been growing, but then I was kind of stuck and didn't really know where to take it. And your company just does so much, you know, that's something you wouldn't want to do because it would take so much time. So to be able to have a team of specialists to just really get your message out, get your brand out. If you want to send something to the dental community, they'll customize it. So it's super professional and be able to kind of make your side projects come to light. And yeah, it was an investment of money for sure. And it's scary, but you're not going to be able to see those changes unless you invest a decent amount of money into it.
And thank you very much. And I think so much of what we've done is help share your story, which is a really great story. And I think that's super important, you know, just even one campaign, you know, we've done a few times where we've just written dentists, but so they just are aware that you exist, but then they do all the research and they're like, oh, this person seems pretty cool. And then they find out word of mouth, oh, she really is as cool as it seems like she is. It's like, it's authentic. We're not just, the marketing message matches reality. Same thing when you're selling Invisalign First. I think that's like so important because even when we visited your office, I mean, your team was exactly how I pictured them in my mind, you know, in real life. And I think that's critically important. So many times I think, you know, potential patients might be disappointed. The team looks amazing online and they come to the office like, oh, they're okay. You know, the energy really isn't there. And I saw on their website, maybe.
And if you're doing videos on social media, that personality that you put out better match what they meet once they come into the office too. So I 100% agree. And nothing easier than just being your true self, because then you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, right? That's so true. And even, you know, a lot of doctors have been referring you that weren't before, and that's because the word of mouth is just working for you and everything else kind of supporting that, because still, I mean, dentist referrals are still a huge part of growth, I think, for doctors, and people forget that.
That's what's been a huge change too the last couple, like 2.5 years, is I have a lot more solid referring dentists. And I know they're, you know, there's a lot of thought that referring dentists are kind of going by the wayside in orthodontics, and you shouldn't rely on them, but they're the best referrers though, because their patients trust them. And if they tell you to go to this office, especially if their patient says, I need to go to an orthodontist, and they give you one name and it's my name, that's amazing. And as long as I don't screw something up, then it's going to be pretty easy to convert that patient to a new start. And you're right. I think it's consistency and being able to, you know, show them who you are and then back it up. And yeah, I'm kind of living a nice year right now, just with the amount of great dentists I have to also work on complex cases. It goes both ways. It's fun to get their patients and then work with them and have some great successes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think relationships are always the first thing in business. And this crazy last year, I think, has shown people that, because if you didn't have the relationships, it was so much harder than it would have been, because you have to start them from scratch virtually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So if someone is considering Invisalign First, what would you think the baby steps that would be to take if you wanted to try it out?
I think pick a handful of cases to try. And I never follow this advice myself, but like usually when I want to try something, I jump all in and I try every case that comes across that wants to. But I think it's actually smarter to pick one that's not super challenging, that you think is going to go pretty smooth, and then you can work out the kinks. But if you've already been doing Invisalign, there's not going to be kinks you can't fix. And as an orthodontist, if a tooth misbehaves, you can always put braces on. So I never feel that nervous about doing Invisalign. If I always mention, hey, we'll watch this tooth. If I'm worried about a certain situation, we have braces, so we can do a combination. So that's our, you know, we always have that fail safe to go back to. I would just say do it. Yeah. There's no reason not to.
I think that's a great philosophy, and it's a good insight into how you roll. And I think it's a little big part of your success. Well, Dr. Milner, thank you for being on the show. I think it was a really good insight into how we're increased Invisalign First cases. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Richie. Look forward to working with you more.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Take it easy. Every orthodontic practice should have something that differentiates them from the competition. And there's so much new technology coming down the pipe. Every time we go to a conference, there's so many solutions that we have to consider if we're going to integrate it into the practice. And I think Invisalign First is a really good option. And this interview with Dr. Laura Milner proved that it works. It really can differentiate you. It can improve efficiency. It can make a big difference in your bottom line. If you want to be a guest on the show, you have an idea for a guest, just go to orthothrive.com. If you want to email me directly, just go to richard@orthosalesengine.com. Keep grinding, keep thriving, and I'll see you next time.